I sure hope that puts a smile on your face like it does mine. I love Linus and Lucy. If you're podcasting, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but in your mind's eye, hear that wonderful Vince Guaraldi piece, Linus and Lucy from Peanuts. It's just beautiful. Anyway, I wish you could hear it. What was that?
I thought that was you.
No, it wasn't me. I didn't do anything. Ooh.
Spooky. It's a Christmas miracle.
It is a Christmas miracle. The team is here. Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, and our endeavor is to bring you relentless positive radio best we can. Not always easy, given what's going on in the world. You can stream us listening live at WJR.com. You can listen to us on the podcast whenever it's convenient for you, and we do appreciate it when you do that. Also, at WJR.com. Right now, you're on your way to making each and every day count because you know each day is a gift. Thanks for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. I was listening on the Kevin Dietz show. What are they? They don't call it the Kevin Dietz show. They don't call it.
It's All Talk.
It's All Talk. Kevin Dietz with All Talk. WJR All Talk, of course. And this is called Focus, ha, 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 with Paul W. Smith, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I was listening to Marie Osborne, who does such a great job. And it was very funny because she wanted to talk about the new little lion cubs. And she said to the person from the Detroit Zoo, where they're celebrating the first time lions have been born there in a long time, she said, "What was the lion dating process like?" I mean, you have to be careful how you ask that question, I guess, anyway.
I think they met on an app like everybody does nowadays.
I think they did. I think, what are some of those dating apps? Swipe left, swipe right, I don't even know.
Marie's demonstrating a big swipe left in the studio.
So she talked about the lying dating process, which made me smile. But what really made me smile was when the young woman from the zoo, and I didn't catch her name, but she's wonderful. Everybody who works at the Detroit Zoo, they're fabulous people. When she said, "Well, this lion, this male lion, was very handsome." Really?
Yeah. Also, I hear they started off as friends and just kind of let nature take its course.
I think that's what it was. A couple of drinks, just conversation. They never thought much would come of it. And then all of a sudden, you've got, three out of the four cubs that did make it, which is really very nice. I'm sorry we lost one, but we got three. And you celebrate the wins, if you will. Anyway, I enjoyed Marie's conversation. And I'm glad that that's true, that we have three new Lions cubs, and they're not going to be seen for a while.
Right, but when they're out for the public, they're going to be a huge, huge attraction.
Absolutely. Now, I looked at the Google Trends because they just let them out. They released them, I guess, is the better way to put it. And while I can look at the Google trending movies of 2025 and say, unfortunately, I didn't see one of them, I would like to see Jurassic World Rebirth, maybe the Fantastic Four First Steps, but K-pop Demon Hunters?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't. I feel like...
Number one.
I know. I believe that was K-pop Demon Hunter, was that in the theaters or was that streaming?
That's streaming.
I don't know.
It's streaming. It's an anime for kids.
So they're not even talking about the movies that are in the movies. Okay, didn't know that. Sinners, the Minecraft movie, Happy Gilmore 2. I'd like to see Happy Gilmore 2.
I liked Happy Gilmore 2. You did see the Fantastic Four movie.
I did?
We saw it the same day we saw Superman.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right. So
must not have really made up.
That must have been really good. F1, I didn't see, but I'd like to. But anyway, trending TV shows, The Hunting Wives, I think I saw that once.
You did see it, yes.
The White Lotus, I saw a long time ago. I don't know about the new ones. Squid Game, I don't remember seeing. Adolescence, IT, Welcome to Derry, don't know. But the one thing I do know I did do was I did Google the most Googled person, the highest trending search of 2025 in the United States, according to data released by Google today, was Charlie Kirk.
I saw that.
And I did Google Charlie Kirk because I didn't know him very well.
Right.
And I could not understand the amount of hatred out there and the amount of love. There were people who hated him, and there were people who loved him. And I couldn't quite figure out what that was all about.
Yeah, and I think that I think that he was high profile enough at the time of his death for it to make national news, but he wasn't quite mainstream enough for everyone to know who he was. So I think that's what a lot of people did, Paul. I think that, you know, the term is chronically online, so I knew Charlie Kirk. He shows up in all my social media feeds. But
oh, is that right?
Yeah, but, you know, you said it. You know, you're not his target demographic, so I think there was a lot of people kind of in the same boat wondering who this guy was when he was unfortunately gunned down.
Yeah. I was just happy to be in there somewhere on one of the Google searches that I could actually relate to. And he was number one on Google's top trending searches for 2025. Now, they put in there somewhere that the lists compiled are of trending topics and should not be confused with the most searched topics.
Oh, see, that's what I thought it meant.
Well, of course, why else would they, how else do they put people in a certain order?
Right.
But they say that the most searched topics by number of searches, quote, tend to change very little every year. That none of this makes sense to me.
Yeah, so, I thought top trending searches meant
just that,
right.
Top trending searches.
Right. It seems kind of weedy once you start parsing those words, because you look at this list and it makes sense that these would be the things that people are Googling the most this year. I mean, Labubus.
Yeah, the Labubu is on there.
Zoran Mamdani.
That's not a surprise. The iPhone 17.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what the difference is.
Government shutdown.
Yeah. So I don't know what the difference is between top trending and things that were actually Googled.
Top search deaths.
Number
2025,
one.
Number one, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
But then Gene Hackman, Ozzy Osbourne, Anne Burrell, Diane Keaton, Michelle Trachtenberg. Why is it has Pope Francis on the list.
Number seven.
Number seven. Why did they put that in blue ink, I wonder? Anyway, Hulk Hogan, Malcolm Jamal Warner, and Val Kilmer.
And I forgot a lot of those.
Why did I print all this is the real question.
So we could talk about it.
But I could have looked on the computer. And trending athletes, Shadur Sanders, I saw a lot of that because of his dad.
Right.
And then I like Sophie Cunningham a lot.
Yeah.
You know who that is?
Yeah.
The basketball player?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. She said
Danielle is waving her head, yes. Do you like Sophie Cunningham?
Yeah,
Danielle?
She's hot.
Well, it's good that you said that and not me. but you're right.
I mean, here's the thing. You know, she did say some unflattering things about Detroit. However, I do like her being the enforcer for Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
And she
did come back on that Detroit thing.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Other things she says are very intelligent and well thought out. I'm willing to give her a mulligan on the Detroit thing.
Is she still playing is the question, because I haven't seen either one of them lately.
I think she got injured. Caitlin Clark got injured. Well, the season's over.
The season was over for Caitlin Clark early, and
yeah.
I think that the viewership dropped immediately.
Right, and plus the WNBA is in the off season right now, so that's also probably why we haven't heard much of them.
Trending musicians is Bad Bunny in third place, and he's going to be the Super Bowl.
He was also the most streamed artist globally on Spotify, so he had a big year.
And the trending Gen Z slang on Google.
Oh.
6'7"?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even understand why that gets any oxygen at all.
We talked a lot about 6'7", actually,
yeah,
on the show.
I think it makes no sense.
Right.
But what is the slang Ohio? What's that slang for?
You know what? I thought I was much hipper than I was. I only recognize a couple of these terms.
41, Sigma, Riz, Good Boy, Aura Chat, and Ohio is one of the slangs. I don't know.
I'm going to have to. Well, and now I'm contributing to making this trending on Google, because now I'm Googling what half of these things mean.
Well, let me know.
I will.
Figure it out before the end of the show. Let us all know. All right. 12:15 at 7:60. It's Paul W. Smith and the team in focus on WJR. 12:21 at News Talk 760 WJR. Always a pleasure being with you and being able to capture some of the news of the day, especially when it isn't heavy news, and we try to bring you this relentless positive radio. I suspect by now most all of us have seen the raccoon who apparently went on a drunken rampage in a Virginia liquor store. Am I right? Have we all seen it?
Yeah, what a headline, by the way.
Yeah. Raccoon goes on drunken rampage in Virginia liquor store. And let's face it, it was a masked burglar. And broke in, fell out of the ceiling or something, a closed Virginia liquor store. And when the bottles went crashing down, the bandit started licking up the alcohol pooled on the floor.
Well, you can't let it go to waste.
I guess that's true. And what happened to the raccoon is what would happen to any of us if we were licking up a lot of broken bottles of booze. Lucky he didn't get a sliver of glass in his tongue.
Right.
But he did get apparently enough alcohol in him to make his way to the bathroom and pass out. Who among us has not done that?
He actually passed out by the toilet too.
Yes, he made it to the bathroom. He passed out by the toilet and he is out like a light.
I think we all looked at this raccoon and said, "Been there, man." Eat a greasy breakfast, drink some water in the morning, and you'll be okay. You'll make it through.
Did he break open a bottle of aspirin is what I want to know that he found in the bathroom, possibly.
Here's my first thought is I was worried about the raccoon, but I guess he completely recovered, and he made it to work on time the next morning, so good to hear.
He works here at WJR, but we're not going to name names.
Right, Danielle.
I saw this... Danielle, come on. I saw this story, and I'm not sure how I'm taking this. There is an Edmund Fitzgerald life ring. We just commemorated the 50th year anniversary of this terrible catastrophe of the famous Great Lakes freighter shipwreck. There's somebody now auctioning off an orange life ring that washed onto the Lake Superior shore after the Fitzgerald sank off the coast of Whitefish Bay, November 10th, 1975. I mean, other than a museum, what do you do with that?
Well, and I was looking in the story, Paul. I was hoping maybe it was going to go to charity or something. I'm not sure where it's going, but... I mean, that could be a cursed item. I wouldn't want that thing in my home. That'd be like bad mojo. You definitely don't want it on your boat.
No. I don't mean to laugh, but no, you don't want it on your boat, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one.
I'm trying. It doesn't look like it's going to charity or anything. It's just being auctioned off. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully, like you said, a museum or someone who's going to be respectful and responsible with it gets it.
I was around when the conversation was active. I haven't heard a conversation regarding the RoboCop statue in maybe 15 years.
Yeah, I thought this was not going to happen ever. Because this happened, this was conceptualized under Mayor Bing, because somebody tweeted at Mayor Bing, back when it was called Twitter, "Hey, Philadelphia has a statue of Rocky. And they said, "Is there any plans for a RoboCop statue?" And Mayor Bing answered, said, there's no plans for that. And then that got things into motion. And I feel like they were going to unveil this thing like five or six times over the last 15 years. I mean, they even had RoboCop come out and throw out the first pitch on the day it was supposed to be unveiled, and then everything was canceled, and you heard nothing about it for a number of years. But I guess it's finally up.
Well, there it is, 15 years after the viral tweet to Mayor Bing. What a great man Mayor Bing was, too, or is.
Yeah,
still.
I guess. Yeah, but it's an Eastern Market, I believe.
It is an Eastern Market.
Yeah.
And I lived and worked in Philly, wonderful 6 years in Philadelphia. I'm very familiar with that statue and the stairs that Rocky ran up in the movie.
Did you ever run them up by yourself?
I thought you'd never ask. I have never run up those stairs, but I did walk up those stairs. Yeah. It took me about 4 hours. No,
Is there an elevator that if you don't want to walk up those stairs?
Not that I'm aware of. I wish there were. If I would have known, I would have taken it.
Yeah.
But I did walk up the stairs because I felt I at least needed to do that.
Right.
Out of tribute to Sly Stallone and to Rocky. But running up those stairs, I mean, people do it every day, of course,
mm-hmm.
but it's not easy.
Right.
It's a lot of stairs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those people are probably in shape to fight Apollo Creed, which I am not. So I would I'd probably be crawling up those stairs towards the end.
And that's why I always never fought Apollo Creed, because
right.
I felt that it wasn't the right thing to do.
The
fact
right
that I wasn't in shape to do it had nothing to do with that. Well, how much of this frigid air are we going to get? I heard today 20 degrees. Is that right?
I think it's supposed to get down to single digits tonight. So good thing the Lions game's indoors.
These are three polar vortex systems this month expected, according to AccuWeather, with some real surges of Arctic air generating rounds of flurries and squalls in certain locations may assist igniting storms with more widespread snow. But again, is today Thursday? It is. Mm-hmm. I missed a day this week. Well, we missed a couple days, but that's another story. I forgot we have Lions action tonight.
Right.
And maybe, could we say it's one of, if not the most important game of the season now that they've kind of worked themselves into this position?
I honestly feel like the playoffs start now. They have to go at least 4-1 to make sure that they make the playoffs. They could sneak in at 3-2, but that would be a big if. So, yeah, I would say we're in must-win territory right now. And unfortunately, the last four of our five games are against possible playoff teams. So it's a gauntlet.
It's a gauntlet. And finally, you saw that Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy,
yes,
is going to run. He's going to challenge Tim Walz for governor of Minnesota. Now, Tim Walz is a piece of work anyway, and now they're finding out that he may have known about people stealing $1 billion of other people's money. And I heard someone this morning say it might be $2 billion, but that's going to be a problem. But Mike Lindell, what's his campaign slogan? A pillow for everyone?
Right.
I don't know. I don't, the poor guy. He's got it's an intriguing story. He was a drug addict. He was a complete lost soul. And he came around. But then he went like real far the other way.
Right.
And I don't actually know where Mike Lindell is now, other than that he's saying he's going to challenge Tim Walz for governor of Minnesota.
Might be in the governor's mansion. Who knows? Doubt it, but
you'll know they'll have great pillows there in the governor's mansion.
Great sheets.
All right. We are underway at 12:30 at 760 WJR. Naughton with us. Haven't talked to Keith in a long time. He's the Bloomberg Auto Business Reporter. Nice to have you here, Keith.
Thanks, Paul W. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, there's lots to talk about, including, of course, the fact that President Trump has rolled back what would be called the Biden-era fuel economy standards. But my initial gut reaction was, if I'm at an auto company and I can't react like this publicly, but it's like, well, it's a little late because they've already invested billions of dollars to try to hit all those other marks. They don't want to go backwards.
Yeah, it is a challenge. In fact, General Motors CFO Paul Jacobson was at a UBS conference yesterday saying they have built infrastructure, factories, to produce a million electric vehicles a year, and they're only selling 150,000. So they have to retrench. GM took a big write down in the last quarter for all these EV assets it now has that it can't utilize. So yeah, it puts them in a bind.
So they'll make the most of it, and I'll tell you that among others in the Oval Office with the president was Ford's Jim Farley, and I love Jim Farley. You know, it's not easy to be in that Oval Office with this president because he's there to take care of the business you're there for, but then he veers off into so many other areas that you really, unless you're one of the sinkle fat, or what's the word I want, sinkle? Suck-ups, I'll just say.
Yeah.
unless you're one of the suck-ups desperately trying to hold on to your job, so you have to laugh at everything he says and react all that way, you have to have a poker face, and you just kind of, you're there for what you're there for, and you try not to react to anything else because you're going to lose in the end. There are people for and against everything else they talk about. So I give Jim Farley a great deal of credit for keeping a great poker face, but talking about how this, in fact, can help Ford and the other, what we used to call the Big Three, as the Detroit Three are in the current issue of Consumer Reports, but we're behind Toyota, Subaru, Lexus, and Honda taking the top four spots. In fact, BMW slotted in fifth as the top European automaker, but we do have Buick in there. I think Buick is in the top 10 at number 8, and Ford was right out of the top 10 at number 11, both making gains from last year and now firmly in the top half of all brands ranked. So it's good especially for Ford to say that they've made big changes, because, boy, they had their hands full with quality issues, didn't they, Keith?
They sure do, and, you know, they're the most recalled automaker, so that's something Farley is really trying to attack. Lincoln did pretty well in that Consumer Reports brand report card that just came out today. They made the top 10. That's a big jump for them. So, you know, Ford is making some progress, but they've got a long way to go on that issue.
Chevrolet and Cadillac, number 17 and 18, with Lincoln at number 20, but has come up, as you point out. And look, we deserve to have the best automobiles. We're not there yet, obviously. What we don't need are automobiles to be built now with this kind of a time limit, like most appliances. You know, I don't know about you, Keith. I don't know how old you are, but when I grew up, we had one refrigerator, and it lasted my entire lifetime living at home. We had one washer, one dryer. They lasted the entire many years that I lived at home. They're built with obsolescence now. We cannot let that happen to automobiles because people are going to start spending 10 years paying for them. You don't want to make a car payment on something that doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, and the cost of cars has gone way up, Paul W. You know, the average cost of a new car is over $50,000 now. So that takes a long time to pay off. We're seeing seven-year loans increasing and more. And so the only way to deal with that cost is to stretch it out. And that means your car has to last a long time.
Keith Naughton does a great job for Bloomberg Auto Business and as a great reporter. And Bloomberg Auto Business is great. How do people, can they just go online and follow what's going on with Bloomberg?
Absolutely. Bloomberg.com. You'll find all our stories.
I love that. Bloomberg.com. Why doesn't everyone make it that simple? Thanks so much, Keith. We won't make it have so much time go by before we talk to you again.
Thanks for having me on, Paul W. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Keith Naughton, Bloomberg Auto Business Reporter. Go to Bloomberg.com. Bloomberg is a good force to be reckoned with. It is 12:43 at 760 WJR. Beautiful day. Cold, but a beautiful day. From what I saw earlier, was all blue sky and sunshine. So you gotta love a day like this at the beginning of December. And it's so nice to be with you here in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR and be able to bring you great people like my next guest. Fred Hunter is the CEO of Detroit PAL, the Police Athletic League. Let me just tell you, I've been around the Police Athletic League for years, going back to, Dan Varner, who founded Think Detroit, and then they brought them in together and brought PAL together and all of that. And we have not had as good a CEO in a long time as we have with Fred Hunter. Now, Fred, I've told you this before, and I mean it. You've done a tremendous job, and I just want to thank you publicly for the incredible job you do with these kids day in and day out, and have now for years. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you to Sarah, too, your wife.
Most definitely. Sarah's behind the scenes helping make everything happen. And, you know, for us, it's a joy to be able to serve kids right here in the community that we live in.
Well, you do it very well. And this is just a coincidence, but I contacted you the other day because I'm working on with a friend I'll just call Dan, because if I give the whole name, it'll give away who I'm talking about. There is a rather major star in Detroit athletics who is came to me, asked about a donation, and I thought immediately this would go perfectly for Detroit Pal, especially since he's an athlete. And we're just not in a position to announce it yet, but it is going to come soon. And I would suggest to anyone listening who has funds that they want to donate before the end of the year that Pal would be a great place. I mean, Variety, the Children's Charity, the Children's Center, all the folks that I supported in my golf tournament are still very worthy and could use the help. But in this case, athlete to the athletes. And when I started knowing about Pal way back when, they were mostly athletic. I kind of cajoled them into adding academic. And you've added leadership development programs, athletic, academic, and leadership development programs. Pal is so much and means so much about the kids. Talk about the number of children that Pal has helped in the community just in this last year.
Yeah, this last year, it's going to be over 9,500 youth. We're looking like right about 10,000 that we're going to serve. And we do it in partnership, as you know, Paul W., with Detroit Police Department, which is our number one partner. And this year we had 1,411 volunteers and coaches, you know, out there on the fields, on the courts, helping us achieve the mission. And they give 90,000 hours every year.
Wow.
To help us, and they support our mission in an amazing way.
That is incredible, and we never forget about the Detroit Police Department. And the whole idea that this all stems from is a fabulous, positive interaction with kids that don't always have those positive interactions with police officers, but they do now. And 10,000 of them did in 2025. And you renovated the Pal Recreation Center. You've got the middle school flag football, the expanded program now to Grand Rapids and CVI Basketball League. I think Pal is very important. You tell me, Fred Hunter, Detroit Pal CEO. I think it's very important to the overall success of Detroit.
Yeah, I believe it is, Paul W. We're essential to the ecosystem. And, you know, I love the first three words of our mission. It's in partnership with. And so we're a connector. You know, we connect with other nonprofits, with the police department, with schools. We work with over 75 schools in the local area. So we're integrated with the singular goal of how do we uplift children, help them see the greatness inside, give them confidence and belief, and become better, because they are going to be the leaders of the future, and we want to invest in them now.
I can't tell you how fortunate we are to have this gentleman I'm talking with involved with our kids. He is a seasoned executive leader. He's got plenty of years of experience both in nonprofit management success and in business. He could go anywhere else and make a lot more money. But you and Sarah have taken on Pal as a very personal, almost, I'm going to say, almost religious experience, as far as I can tell, Fred.
Yeah, it's our mission. You know, we've known that children are our heartbeat. And, you know, to be able to connect what your purpose is in life in terms of uplifting children and be able to, you know, work with PAL, which has been doing this for 56 years, and connect those two. You know, it does not feel like work. It's definitely a mission. We're passionate about it. And what's beautiful, we've got so many people on our staff passionate about it as well.
You do indeed. And God bless you. We support you, and we always will. Fred Hunter, Detroit PAL. I'm getting the biggest kick out of the lamestream media making a big deal out of President Trump dozing off in those meetings. First, they report that he was up all night doing 150 texts. And then they somehow are surprised the next day while he's in a meeting that he's fallen asleep. Please try to find a like number of reports on President Biden when he was asleep or didn't even know where he was, and it was very obvious, and yet the primary institutional media ignored it until they found out they were even duped by people, and then they were upset because they were duped. None of us were duped. We all saw it. We all knew it. We weren't pleased. I said a number of times, look, I had a grandfather who lived to be 100, but I wouldn't ask him to be president from that age on or whatever. Wasn't pleased, but it was an obvious problem for President Biden, and yet the institutional media ignored it. Now they're going crazy on when Trump is clearly, as my grandfather used to say, resting his eyes.
Right. Well, and we always say we need younger representation in government, but we keep voting for people who are of an age where they're having a hard time staying awake.
I'll tell you what, if this Mondami does well, and I hope he does. I mean, I don't want a communist to thrive, but I think a lot of his communist ways are going to get straightened out because they're going to have to.
Yeah, and I mean, you've seen him moderate even in his meeting with Donald
already.
Trump. Right.
Yeah. And asking for money already. He's actually come out and said, I'm going to do all these things, but I'm going to need money. So please, if you'd like to donate. I thought, wow. But anyway,
what were you going to say?
You have something to say.
I feel like Donald Trump is probably easier to deal with one-on-one than in front of a group of people or through the media, right? Because him and Mondami, they just had a war of words for months and months and months.
Right.
They get into a room together. They come out, they're best buddies.
Best pals.
Right.
Yeah, best pals. They're going camping. I have found that to be the case in a lot of circumstances. I've been fortunate enough to be at the White House with every president since Gerald Ford, really, had him on the show or whatever. And at the White House or in other places, for example, I always said if George W. Bush could have come off through the media the way he does one-on-one, he would have been one of our most beloved presidents rather than one they make jokes about and make fun of. He's bright. He's funny. He's all of that. But when you stick a camera in his face, it changes.
Right. Well, and I think it's easier for your personality and warmth and being personable. I think it's easier to get that across in person than on TV. It's sort of like when you meet someone that you watch on TV and they seem like they have their own orbit in person because, you know, you need a lot of that to come across through the screen, and I think you lose that, in the case of like a George W. Bush.
You know what I say to people who fill in for me? I try to send them a note thanking them for filling in, and the last thing I say mostly to all of them is have fun.
Right.
Because I think people think when they get behind a microphone or in front of a camera, I love cameras. I did television a number of times over the years, and it's easier than doing radio, but that's another story. But people think they have to be a certain way
right
in front of a microphone or a camera, and all I want them to do is be themselves and have fun. That's
all. The industry term when they're coaching you is to you eventually want the microphone to disappear. So you don't even notice it. You're just being yourself.
Well, the other thing is, and I've tried to always do this. I don't start off with "Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing?" I'm talking to one person,
right?
And that's the way I look at it. And if you've seen my numbers lately, it's true. I'm talking to one person. But anyway, where's the drummer, Danielle? Danielle, thank you.
Well, I guess I was the only one person listening.
I was joking, but I guess I wasn't. There wasn't even two people listening. There's something, though, that I saw up on the screen a while ago. Yeah, look, I am, without question, more of a Fox news watcher than a CNN or an MSNBC or any of those other guys. But even I have my limits. And I saw a headline a while ago, and I couldn't say anything, but now I'm going to say it. It said, Halle Berry says Newsom should not be the next president. Can I ask you a question? I love Halle Berry.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a beautiful, talented woman. Do I care at all about who she thinks should or shouldn't be president?
Well, I'm glad you're consistent, because Fox News, every time a celebrity says something that they disagree with, these celebrities should stay out of politics. But then if a celebrity says something that they agree with, it's all over the place. They come on as panelists. So I appreciate your consistency, Paul.
Well, I have been consistent. If anyone's listened over the years, for example, I love Barbara Streisand's voice.
Right.
I think she's a fabulous singer. I don't care at all what she thinks or says about politics. Why would I?
Right. Well, and here's the thing, too. Unless someone says something very, very heinous, you know, I try not to listen to their politics, because here's the thing. You know, a lot of people stopped watching Leonardo DiCaprio movies because of his politics. But he's made some good movies. So why deny yourself that? It's not like you're sticking it to him personally. Just like you said, keep it separate. Keep it separate.
The truth is, I don't even know what his politics are. I guess I don't pay attention enough. I don't know what his politics are, and I don't care.
Right, because you don't follow him for his politics. You follow him because you like or dislike his movies.
Right, and by the way, I don't go crazy, because I realize that these are actors, and since I have a little experience in that area, I know that, you know, we fall in love with these characters in a movie. They're just reading other people's lines.
Right, they're pretending.
They're pretending. And God bless them that they do it so well. But that's not them. Anyway, and I have to remind myself, too, but whatever. Here's a headline. Trump pauses. Is this from the Detroit News? Trump pauses immigration applications for 19 nations on the travel ban.
Right. That was in the wake of the National Guard shooting.
Yeah, that 19 nations. Man, oh, man, that's like. That's going a little overboard,
yeah,
but he does that. I mean, that's what he does.
Yeah, he takes a tragedy and he uses it as an excuse to overreact.
I don't know that it's his excuse. I think he just overreacts. That's his personality. He jumps quickly and he reacts. Many times he's spot on and right. And what a lot of people like about him is he appears to speak his mind. He is not trying to say things just to say them. He's saying them because he believes them. Sometimes they're very wrong. Sometimes they're very right, whatever. But it's a lot better, I think, than the mamby-pamby way that most politicians have talked to us over the years. That's what I think. I'm just saying. Hey, help 760 WJR thank our heroes this Christmas. It's WJR's Christmas on Us, our way to honor the dedication and sacrifice of Michigan's active military families and veterans. They make sacrifices all year long. Help us ensure they have a truly joyful Christmas. Do you know a deserving family who serves our country? We'll nominate them now. Don't wait. Nominate them now at WJR.com. WJR.com. And Ryan Ermani will have a great Christmas on Us broadcast coming up before you know it. We continue here on News Talk 760 WJR. All right, we're about to learn something together, and we depend on this Detroit News reporter, Summer Ballantyne, to talk about this large turnout for last night's virtual hearing on the new data center that's being argued about in Saline Township. Summer, welcome to the Paul W. Smith Focus Show.
Thanks so much for having me today, Paul. I really appreciate it.
Well, it is our pleasure, because you're about to educate us on the whole thing, the data center, the 250-acre project outside Ann Arbor that's proposed by some big tech companies, and a lot of people are racing to build artificial intelligence programs, and they claim that Michigan is far behind other states. Talk to us.
Yeah, so a data center is basically a giant warehouse that houses some of the computers and other equipment needed to support AI and the internet. And Michigan has not seen a huge influx of these data centers in recent years, in part because we didn't have the same tax incentives that some of the neighboring states did. So looking at the numbers, across the U.S., we have about 2,700 of these data centers. Here in Michigan, we have 35 and another 8 proposed. And I'm getting those numbers from a regional economist from the University of Virginia who spoke with the Detroit News.
I'm going to put this in the simplest of terms because I'm a simple guy. And that is, this is reminding me a little bit about when we first started talking about windmills being the answer to solve all of our power problems. And everyone was all for windmills until you said you were putting one in their backyard. And it sounds like everybody was all in on data centers. Look at the tax revenue. Look at the jobs. Look at, wait a minute, not in my backyard. Am I right or wrong about that?
Well, because we haven't seen a lot of development here in Michigan, I think a lot of the concerns that I'm hearing from the public is we don't have enough information on this yet. And that was a lot of the feedback that was given during last night's public hearing that another Detroit News reporter attended, my coworker, Carol Thompson, who's been doing also really great reporting on this. So not everyone who attended the public hearing necessarily said, don't bring these data centers here. There were some supporters who were hoping for the economic development that it could bring. But we did hear from people who were saying, let's slow down. We need a little bit more time to learn about these data centers before we allow them to build all over the state.
I think one of the things that I hear on the outside is the concerns about water usage, the concerns about power usage, that the development, they want to be assured that the development's not going to lead to hikes in electric rates and all kinds of things like that. Did any of that come up last night?
Yes, definitely. The main concerns that people are bringing up about these data centers are over the impact on the environment. So how much water it will take to cool a lot of computers and other technologies that can overheat. If it's not taking a lot of water, then it's going to require a lot of electricity. DTE, which would be the utility company trying to partner with the Saline Township Data Center, they've been pretty adamant saying that it's not going to raise electricity rates, but there's still a lot of skepticism from advocates and members of the community about what it's going to mean for our electricity services.
Did anyone read the public comment statement that Governor Gretchen Whitmer submitted to MPSC in support of DTE's request? I'll read it very quickly so that my family here knows what I'm talking about. Quote, the reality is that data centers are going to be a big part of America's future. The question isn't whether they will be built, but rather, can Michigan benefit from these jobs and build data centers in a smarter way while upholding our strong environmental laws to protect our precious natural resources? We have an opportunity to do both, end of quote.
Yeah, that's another big sentiment that I have heard from especially people on the economic development side and people who just view that we need these data centers and we really can't fight them. They're coming. Let's figure out a way to do them in the most responsible manner. That said, you know, many, many people disagree with that opinion and still are opposed to them. But there are two sides to the story.
Well, it's interesting. And Summer Ballantyne doing a great job, reporter for the Detroit News. And I don't know for sure if this is from your story, but it is said that Michigan data center development trails other Great Lakes states. And I guess I got to believe that at least at this point, that's true. What do you say?
Yes, absolutely. So again, quoting from the a regional economist from the University of Virginia, we look at the entire Great Lakes state area, There are about 525 data centers in this area. Illinois and Ohio are big leaders. Illinois has 115 data centers. Ohio has about 100. Compared to that, Michigan has 35. So we're definitely behind some of the neighboring states.
Wow. Interesting. Very good. I'm glad you brought this to our attention and you spoon-fed me. Even I understand all of this. Thank you, Summer.
Yeah, thanks so much. And we'll be doing more reporting on this moving forward. So we're happy to help.
All right. We'll look forward in the Detroit News and look forward to having you back on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Summer Ballantyne, a reporter for the award-winning Detroit News. As we continue in focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR, heading toward 129. Well, we're nearing the end of the 18th annual Variety Holiday Adopt a Child program, which is a lovely, lovely program you can be a part of. You can call Variety at 248-258-5611, 248-258-5511. And get more information. You can go online to their website, too, at www.variety-detroit.com. That's variety-detroit.com. Variety, the children's charity. And they're ready, willing, and able to help you help kids during this wonderful holiday season. So I hope that you will do that. There's another guy out there who's doing great things to help people. And we love to have him on every time he's doing it. He's hosting, along with his lovely wife, Kristen, a holiday toy drive and open house this weekend. And, of course, it's Ken Lingenfelter, the owner of the Lingenfelter Collection. And he and Kristen open their doors only for special occasions like this. Brighton's Lingenfelter Collection hosting their sixth annual Toys for Tots drive with local Marines this Saturday, and Kenny says car enthusiasts of all ages are encouraged to come by, bring a new toy, and that gets you inside. And God bless you, Ken, for opening up what is truly one of the world's greatest collections of collectible automobiles anywhere. God bless you, Ken.
Well, thank you. God bless you, too. Really, for the most part, Paul, I mean, you've been so supportive of us over the years, and this is a great charity. You know, the retired Marines pretty much do the whole job, and we've been doing this for them for a while, and it's worked out very well. And, you know, we're just asking, as you said, guests to bring an unwrapped toy to enter the collection. And if they don't want to shop, you can make a cash donation as well, and we can do the shopping. But it'll be a very fun day. We'll have Santa Claus here. The Grinch may make an appearance. There are fun games and things for kids to play, and it should be just a wonderful day again.
And you know who loves this the most? He sends me a picture of the two of you whenever he can, whenever the two of you are together, and that's our old friend Michael Brennan, young man Michael Brennan, who we met through our son Jamie Geisinger. They went to U of D together and have stayed in touch. And Michael just loves cars. He loves it, Ken, when you open this place up. It's not generally open to the public, but it is now. The Lingenfelter Collection at 7819 Lachlan Drive in Brighton this Saturday. Toys for Tots Drive runs from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. And what got you deciding to start collecting toys, what, 6 years ago, I guess?
Yeah, you know, really, for the most part, we're very careful with which charities we work with. And as I said, Toys for Tots program has been around for a long time, done by the Marines, and it's just a really, really great charity, a really great program to support. So I'm looking for a very big day, and I think everybody will have a good time.
You come to this naturally with the Lingenfelter Collection. It's the biggest and best. And you were born the son of a General Motors executive. You grew up with a lust and appreciation for stylish, high-performance automobiles. You found some success in the real estate settlement industry. You bought your first Corvette in 1977, and additional cars were acquired. Your passion for performance cars grew. Having sold his company, he's dedicated himself to assembling a collection of significant muscle cars. a lot of Corvettes and exotic European cars from around the world, and you share them with us. But you share them very carefully, as you already pointed out. You and Kristen are very careful to be sure you're helping charities. And I know this one, the Toys for Tots, the Marines and all of that, has been extremely important to you. What have you added lately to the collection, Ken?
Well, I've mentioned this to you before, Paul, but, the other business we have is Lingenfelder Performance Engineering, and we build performance cars through that entity. And the new C8 Corvette is such an amazing car and an incredible bang for the buck. And we found ways to get even more power out of the engine and have even more fun with the car and different kinds of racing. So that's our focus on the business side. And you know, we keep the collection. It's not open to the public. It's only open for the charity events that we put on. So it's a unique time and a fun time to come in and take a look around.
And having been honored to be there during one of those times, I can tell you it's mind-blowing. And I've been a lot of places and been through a lot of collections. This is like the best in the world. And by the way, when we first started talking, it was like a long time ago, and it was somebody brought in their car and wanted me to give them 500 horsepower. 500 horsepower is not even, I mean, no one's talking about 500 horsepower. They're talking about 1,000 horsepower and more now.
Oh, yeah. And you know, we have to always continue to find ways to get more horsepower for people who really want to go out and have a good time. And, you know, what we ask customers, what do you want to do? Do you want a road? You want to autocross? You want a road race? Do you want to drag race? What do you want to do? And we build them a car for what they're interested in. So,
and these are people who contact you from around the world, some of them with unlimited resources. They could go anywhere, but they go to Ken Lingenfelder.
Well, my company's 52 years old this year, so we've been at it a long time, and we mostly work on just General Motors cars, but we have a lot of fun along the way, as you can imagine, too.
Yeah, you do. My best to you and Kristen, and thank you for doing what you don't need to do, and that is opening your doors and your hearts to raise money this Saturday, the Holiday Toy Drive and Open House this weekend on Lachlan Drive, 7819 Lachlan Drive in Brighton from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. All you need to do is bring in a brand new toy for kids, because it's Toys for Tots Day. And I thank you again and again, Kenny, for doing this. God bless you.
God bless you too, Paul. Thanks so much for all your support over the years. Believe me, it means a lot.
You will always have it. You will always have it. Thank you. Ken Lingenfelder, owner of the Lingenfelder Collection. You know anybody who loves cars, they're going to love being able to get out there during this holiday toy drive and open house this weekend. Bring a toy. If you don't have a toy, you can give them a financial contribution. There's no set price, but they obviously know that you're there to help the kids as well as see a tremendous collection of vehicles. All right, 143, we continue at WJR. Well, it's always a pleasure spending time with you from noon to 2, whether you're listening at 760 on the AM dial or streaming us. You can do that at WJR.com. And I do hope when you can't be here noon to 2, which we fully understand, that you will come back and do the podcast. You can listen to the entire show very, very quickly, because they cut out all the commercials and traffic and weather and things that won't be pertinent to you when you listen at a different time. So get the podcast. Look for me, Paul W. Smith, at WJR.com, and we'll continue the relentless positive radio while you're on your way to making each and every day count. Each day, as you know, is a gift. And don't forget the QTR, quality time remaining. And I do want to thank you again for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. And I do it with the team, the team, the team. Mike Parsons, our executive producer, Danielle Mason running the controls, and Rich Luzinski with our WJR traffic and weather first. You know, I heard Marie talking about the lion dating process out at the zoo that ended up with the zoo having the great announcement that there are, there were four, sadly one didn't make it, but three new lion cubs. I failed to mention that the gestation period for a lion is just 100 days. Doesn't that seem fast?
Well, it does, but they're different than people, I guess.
Well, I would hope so. But the the gestation period for giraffes, 15 months.
Oh, my goodness.
Wouldn't you get tired of that, carrying that baby for 15 months?
What was
so
that?
We're lucky at 9.
Yeah, remember there was that giraffe, I think April the giraffe, we waited forever for that baby to drop, and there was like a... Like every night on the news, like they had to find some new giraffe expert to interview about it. I guess
yeah, and we only did that so that we could watch it stumble around because it couldn't walk at first, and we wanted to watch and smile or even
right.
laugh at the way the giraffe couldn't get around on those spindly legs.
Right, and I mean, look, it's not a pretty process. So
no, it isn't.
I think it isn't. Though we should have been shocked, we were.
It wasn't pretty for us when we were learning to walk, but we didn't have nearly as far to fall
right.
as the giraffe would. Okay, so now the Democrats, this is bizarre. They've released more pictures from the investigation of the late disgraced financier and accused sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. And you know what they released? They released a picture that appears to show a dentist chair in a room.
Right.
Yeah, what the heck?
Well, so I guess the dentist chair... Someone who, the story is that someone who Epstein knew was studying to be a dentist, but who knows what that weirdo. The thing is, though, Paul, you know, this story was all over the place, and I thought that, you know, these pictures would show something incriminating, but it was just the dentist chair, some stuff written on a chalkboard, and then that was it. Like, I don't feel like we've learned anything new here.
Some go-to numbers on a phone. You know, what do you call those numbers that are already preset in your phone?
Oh, like speed dial?
Speed dial.
Yeah.
On, you know, Frank and Jim.
Right.
And Jerry. I mean, this is what they've given us. Now, mind you, they had all this information when the Democrats were completely in charge and didn't release it. So that always, you have to always remind yourself, they had the opportunity. If there was anything that could have done Trump in, believe me, they would have released it a long time ago because they didn't want him to win re-election.
Right. And I remember I clicked on the story thinking, oh, gosh, who am I going to have on about this? But then, like, you look
There's
at
no
it.
There's no story.
Right. And so, I mean, is this just the slow trickle to keep in the
news
cycle?
Oh, yeah, keep it in the news. They want to keep it in the news because they got nothing else.
Right.
If they'd come up with some brilliant ideas on how they're going to make the country better, we'd hear them.
Right.
But we haven't. Meanwhile, I can't believe they had the... Didn't they have the meeting this morning with Admiral Frank Bradley, the Navy SEAL who leads the U.S. Special Operations Command? And he's the one that's in the quote-unquote hot seat for doing the double tap.
Yeah, heard nothing
and
about
it
so far.
I've heard nothing.
Yeah.
I've heard nothing. And that's very unusual. Even though they were closed-door meetings, these guys can't help themselves. If there was something to blab about to get him in trouble or the president in trouble, they'd be blabbing about it. My answer is this. From now on, do 2 missile shots for every boat. No one's going to complain if they do 2 missile shots at once. And that'll make sure that the boat is completely blown up and everybody in it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Like, I feel like there's a news dump every day about between like 2 and 4. So we'll see.
I think that's a great name, a news dump.
Yeah, I know they do it then on Friday.
JR Afternoon, the one and only, Ryan Ermani. His ankles are taped. He's girding his loin. And I'm not sure what that means, Ryan, but don't hurt yourself.
I'm going to try not to because the rest of the Detroit Lions feel hurt. So I'm going to try to stay healthy.
Oh, and I have a note here. Go Lions. We need you to win tonight. Do you know? Well, we got to go. We're out of time. Stand by for news. And Ryan Ermani regards Paul W. Smith.